Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Banky Manfredi, and joining me, as always, is the other host of this show, Zach Into Deep Batista. Zach, how you doing, my man?
I'm chilling. It was a nice day out today. Classic New Jersey weather.
Oh yeah, I do not know what it is like outside because I woke up mega late for this recording.
Yeah, it's just wet and cold. The gray, wet and cold. Classic Jersey.
Classic. Love it. I love gray, wet and cold. it's perfect weather for a Monday, right?
Yeah. It's very very much fits the mood of what a Monday is.
I'm going full Garfield here. I hate Mondays. I actually don't hate Mondays. Mondays are usually like my weekend because I work in a restaurant. So like my Mondays are usually like when I actually have the day off for once. So I actually don't hate Mondays at all.
Oh my god, wow, that's a rare case.
Because Mondays are like my Saturdays.
Oh yeah, true, yeah.
Like, I have the day off. Well, not today, but like usually I have the day off. But man, like everyone hates Mondays and I'm just like, ah, Monday. Like... anyway, we are not here to talk about Monday. We are here to talk about a wrestling event we went to this Saturday, which was GCW Into Deep at the Showboat in Atlantic City. We were there live. If you were one of the lucky handful of people to get a free t-shirt, you would know we were there live because we were bugging everybody about getting free t-shirts.
Yeah, no, you put in some major fucking work. Props to you, man. Fucking hell.
Hey, man, I had a lot of t-shirts I wanted to give away. Yeah. I was feeling generous.
we had a backpack full of shirts.
We had a backpack full of shirts, and now we have less of that because we gave away a nice handful. So if you're one of the lucky few to get a shirt, we'd love to know. Tweet at us at Indie Waters if you're listening, and let us know. Send us a picture of you in the shirt. We'd love to see it. Anyway, let's go over this card really quick because we went to this show because we saw one match. We saw that Speedball Mike Bailey was going to be there, and it was like, well, now we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, this card altogether started off with, of course, the GCW Classic, a scramble match. Mm-hmm. It was a 7-way scramble match between Gringo Loco, Shane Mercer, Drago Kid, Dante Leon, Axton Ray, Jimmy Lloyd, and ASF. Then we had an intergender match between Jordan Oliver and Monster Slamovich. We had a match between Alex Zane and ACH. We had a bit of a different match than what was on the card with a 3-on-3 tag team match, which was supposed to be a triple threat tag team match between Bussy, SGC, and the Briscoes, but the Briscoes had a last minute emergency, so the match ended up being a six-man tag team match, which was SGC, Second Gear Crew, Mance Warner, AJ Gray, Matthew Justice, taking on the team of Bussy, Ali Catch, and Effie, with their friend Grim Reefer. Then we had Blake Christian versus Biff Busick. We had Speedball Mike Bailey versus Joey Janela. We had a GCW TOS 7 qualifying match between Hoodfoot and Akira. Another GCW TOS 7 qualifying match between Slade and Sawyer Wreck. And a GCW Ultraviolent title match between John Wayne Murdoch and Cole Roderick.
That's a fucking long card.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 matches.
Yep.
It's pretty good card.
Do remind me, I think Second Gear Crew had AJ Gray with them, right? That was their third member?
Well, Second Gear Crew is AJ Gray. Like, it is, AJ but Gray is in Second Gear. Yeah, it was AJ Gray, Mance Warner, and Matthew Justice.
Yeah, okay. I was like, I can't remember if this has something else or not. Anywho, yeah. let's get fucking into it because we can hear all day talking about some of these matches.
Let's start at the top with the seven-way scramble match. What did we think about this one?
I mean, it's a fucking scramble match. It was exactly what I wanted. And the moment I saw ASF, yeah, Drago Kid, and I saw Gringo Loco walking to the ring with Shane Mercer, we're gonna lose this shit. Okay, and it's exactly what you think it's gonna be if you haven't ever seen a scramble match. But if you haven't seen one, it's just a massive chaotic spot fest.
Yeah, it's a massive chaotic spot fest. Everyone's trying to get their stuff in. It's just fun. There's a lot of cool one-on-one matchups that happen that you probably wouldn't have seen otherwise. It's really, Shane Mercer was absolutely, throwing people around and looking like an absolute monster. Gringo Loco was flying around the ring, Drago Kid was flying around the ring, ASF, everyone was just doing wild stuff. I think ASF hit Jimmy Lloyd with a Canadian Destroyer off of Shane Mercer's shoulders or something like that.
Yes.
That was ridiculous.
That's a good one. I liked the spot where they were just kind of one-upping each other, like, one guy would do a suicide dive, the other person would be like, well, fuck you, I can do that too, and they would just keep one-upping each other.
Mike, and they all just did suicide dives.
The poor dudes on the ground kept getting up, and he kept getting knocked back down.
Kept getting up, and they're like, all right, time to catch somebody else.
There was a bunch of really cool spots here. My favorite, though, has to probably be when Shane Mercer got ASF on his shoulders, and Gringo Loco, I think, had Drago Kid by, or it might have been Jimmy Lloyd, actually, now that I think about it, and like a wrist lock, and the two of them, were doing they walked across the top rope towards each other, and then, if I recall correctly, Mercer hit a Death Valley, it's like a Death Valley driver / Spanish fly on Loco and ASF off the rope, and then Jimmy Lloyd and, I want to say it was, this might have actually been where Drago Kid and Lloyd and whoever Mercer's holding on to kicked each other in the face, and I was like, yep, that's a scramble match for you.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then everyone was just down in the middle of the ring. These are just fun to watch. I think it's a great way to get the crowd into it and get the crowd hyped, just watching everybody do all this crazy shit, and then it's like, alright, time to get into the card, you know?
Yeah.
Because this match wasn't advertised, but GCW always ends up doing a scramble of some sort, you know, just to get people on the card, which is cool, I think.
It's always nice. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So the one who won this was Gringo Loco.
Yep.
He hit a spinning avalanche powerbomb off the top rope for the win. I hope they both feel better today, because, my God, I guess they feel better now, because that landing was rough.
Yeah, there was a few rough landings in this one. A few spots didn't go completely as planned.
But it's a scramble match, so as the name implies, it's a bit of a scramble.
Yeah. anyway, the way this match ended was with, I believe, Gringo Loco.
Yeah, as I just said, he hit the powerbomb off the top.
Yeah, he hit that big powerbomb off the top to Shane Mercer, ended up winning the match.
What would you give this match, Mikey?
I'd give it a meh. It was fine. It was fun. It was a great way to get me hyped for the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing wild, though.
I'll give it the high meh, because I wasn't expecting Lucha, and I was like, alright, it's a surprise to be sure, but a welcome one indeed.
Sick. All right, let's move on to the next match. This was the opening. This was the next match on the card. This was Jordan Oliver taking on Masha Slamovich.
I was very excited when I saw this match.
Yeah. Masha Slamovich looking like an absolute killer as usual, and Jordan Oliver coming in young, dumb, and broke, trying to represent. And this was a solid matchup. These two really threw everything they had at each other and showed everyone why they're main eventers in GCW, right? Why they're doing big things in GCW, why they keep getting booked.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're awesome.
Yeah, these two had a really, really good match with each other. I appreciated Oliver working over Masha's leg and then Masha doing a good job of selling it. I appreciated the strikes from both these two. Masha's mm-hmm. slaps and chops and Jordan's forearms.
Yep.
There were some really nice spots, such as Jordan going off the apron and hitting... he got like an off-the-apron stunner onto Masha and then absolutely destroyed her with a sit-out powerbomb that I remember thinking to myself, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, he really fucking went in.
The sit-out, what was it? The electric chair by Masha onto Jordan, onto the apron, was really nice, too. Mm-hmm. Especially since you never fucking see an electric chair these days. Ever.
Yeah, just an electric tear right on the apron. It was like, ooh, it was so rough, dude.
I remember
I don't know why you don't see electric chairs anymore. It's such a cool move.
Maybe it's just the way, maybe taking it sucks, and no one wants to take it?
I don't know. It feels like it's the same as taking a powerbomb, right? Like, you're falling the same way.
I guess so. Maybe it just doesn't have the impact. Someone out there, mark my words, someone out there will somehow find a way to make an electric chair look as cool as Kairi Sane makes an elbow drop look.
Kairi Sane has the best elbow drop in the game, and it's not even close.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. and then Jordan won this with... Oh, what the hell? It's the whale driver, I think it was.
Yeah, it's like a weird... It's like a spit-out powerbomb almost, too, right?
Yeah. It's like he like hooks Masha's like one leg. It's kind of, honestly, now that I think about it, it looks a lot like Buddy Matthews' finisher, except instead of flipping them over, he just power bombs them to the ground.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was after he, as I wrote here, withstood a spinning backhand from Masha that damn near knocked him out.
Yeah. Yeah.
These two had a very
Masha almost destroyed him with that one.
Oh yeah, no, he was young, dumb, and broken. He shot his shot there.
Young, dumb, and broken is very good.
Sometimes things just work out. So what are you gonna give this match, Mikey?
I'm giving this match a high, Matt. I thought it was really good. They really kicked the crap out of each other and really made me. I really got into this match. I was super stoked. I honestly wanted Masha Slamovich to win, but that's just me. But either way, this match was still really good, and they both put on a solid matchup.
I'm also going to give it a high meh. This match gave me pretty much everything I wanted to, and just a little bit more, because I was actually pleasantly surprised to see Jordan technically attacking Masha's leg, because I'm used to him, you know, flying around the ring and selling like death. And I got that, because Masha hit some nasty-looking shots at him that he just sold very mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
So I will also give it a high meh, but I didn't already say that.
I can't stop yawning. This is ridiculous. Next up, we got Alex Zane taking on ACH. This match was wild. These two killed each other.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen ACH, and I was reminded watching this match why he was so damn good when he was on. Why I thought he was so damn good when he was on TV a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
The chops and strikes in this match, bro, were fucking gunshots in the show.
Yeah, dude, they were killing each other. They were throwing them as hard as they could.
You know, I don't know who decided to say, just chop me as hard as you can, I'll do the same back, but it definitely got the reaction they wanted to.
Yeah, dude, sure. I was wincing at, like, a lot of these. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. There were a lot of, these two were, I mean, the match, if you've ever seen Alex Zane or ACH, this match what you think it is, but for those of you that don't know, heavy strikes, the heavy strikes is more of a surprise, but sometimes these two have good strikes. Really athletic shit. Like,
yeah.
Like some Cirque du Soleil. Like, there was a point where ACH just, like, he leapfrogged over Alex Zane, and I remember thinking to myself, you got way too much height for a simple leapfrog. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And, like, the two of them were, these two traded a Hurricane Rana dropkick tope, basically, with each other. And I was like, these two have cardios of mad lads.
those two just went and went and went.
I think the best looking spot or my favorite spot of this match was when I believe it was ACH went to go hit Zayn with a Hurricane Rana off the top rope, but Zayn caught him. And then he went to throw him down, and ACH somehow landed on his feet as Zayn, mm-hmm. like, landed on his feet as well. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, now you're just showing off. All right.
Now you're just showing off. Come on. Come on. This is crazy.
Yeah, they were back-to-back with each other. Yes, I remember now. ACH jumped into him. Zayn tried to powerbomb. He turned it into a Hurricane Rana, and then they land back-to-back, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, wild.
There was only one spot where it was really rough, because it's similar to the last spot where I said, like, he countered the Hurricane Rana, except ACH jumped into Zayn, Zayn jumped into ACH, and
yeah, ACH was on the top rope. ACH was on the top rope, and it looked like Zayn was going to jump up to the top rope with him and do a Hurricane Rana, but then Zayn slipped and almost fell onto the apron,
Yeah, so then
a you fucked up chant from the crowd.
Of course, because, nothing else you could do there. And then, the really sad part is then right after this, they went for a pin, and ACH had his shoulders up, but the ref then, I guess, almost messed the count up, because the crowd then immediately was like, fuck this ref. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fuck.
It was close. Yeah, like, the ref, like, slammed his hand down, but it was, like, one of those where it was, like, missing, and it, like, he hit anyway by accident. He was like, no, it was two, don't ring the bell.
Yeah, and the crowd was very much like, you, fuck this ref. And I remember thinking to myself, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. I think this match, all in all, was good, though.
It was. Zayn won with a Crunchwrap Supreme off the top rope onto ACH.
What a, still the best name.
There's a reason why I own a shirt for his that says Flip Moss. It's
Flip Moss, baby.
One of these days...
He has the Baja Blast tights.
One of these days, if he ever gets on TV, he needs a sponsorship from Taco Bell.
Yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. But, I think this was a good match. Outside of the little bit of rough-looking spots towards the end, I thought this was a really good showing for both these guys. Again, I sound like a broken record, but I'm giving it a high meh.
Yeah, me too. I agree. This match was solid. There was a lot of great spots. There was that one little mess-up, but I don't think it affected the match too much. And now I want Taco Bell.
Yeah, no, I could kill a Baja Blast and a Crunchwrap now.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the next match before we get too hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
We got Second Gear Crew, AJ Gray, Mads Warner, and Matthew Justice taking on Alley Catch, Effie, and Grim Reefer, the team of Bussy. So the two tag teams came out for this match. Mads Warner and Matthew Justice came out.
Yeah.
Then Bussy came out, of course. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, AJ Gray came out.
Yeah, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, Second Gear Crew makes sense. I don't know why you're out here right now, but okay.
Yeah, then AJ Gray gets in the ring and is like, listen, we're all SGC here. Why don't we have a 3-on-3 match if you can find somebody? And then Alley Catch is like, she grabs the mic and she says, what, you think Bussy don't have friends? You think Bussy don't have friends back there? And she calls out Grim Reefer, who comes to the ring, and we get a 3-on-3 match between these two, which I think ended up being pretty solid.
I thought it was, yeah, that's pretty much the best way I would describe it. It was a solid hardcore match.
Yeah, it was fun. Of course, right away, Reefer doing his thing, getting the joint out, doing all the spots with the joint.
Everyone was very excited to see this.
Everyone was taking their hits, yeah.
Very nice time. Allie and Mance had, like, a strike and then headbutt off that I remember thinking myself.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was a fun one. It went a bit long for me, but I thought it was fun. I swear to God, like, I was so worried at this. There was a spot later in this match where Justice just clipped Effie to the head with a chair, and I swear it looked like the chair hit him, like, right across the head despite his hands being up. And I was like, oh, no, don't do that.
We've seen Effie take chair shots straight to his face, though.
I do not like chair shots to the head, like, on principle. Like,
that's fair.
I'm just like, And, like, when they get their hands away, I'm like, alright, that's fine. But this one, it just looked like he put his hands up, and the chair went over it. Like, the chair was like, ha, fuck your hands, dude.
He went bonk.
Yeah, he got bonked, and then he got destroyed by a Death Valley driver through a door.
Yeah, that was a crazy. That was another crazy spot. One of my favorite spots in this match was when they had the door set up and it looked like SGC was about to like suplex Effie through the door.
Yeah,
like off the top rope, and then Reefer and Alley Catch got up to them on the apron and just beat like knocked them off Effie, and then they grabbed them both and did a double power bomb to Gray and Warner through the door.
Very good.
Yeah, it was super cool. I don't know. I think this was just a solid matchup between these two. It was a good. Obviously, it sucks we didn't get the Briscoes, but
yeah.
I think this match was a nice way to fill the spot, mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed being able. We got to see AJ Gray. We got to see Grim Reefer, who were both not on the card. You know.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Okay, so we forgot to mention the winner of this was Second Gear Crew. They absolutely slaughtered Reefer with a Doomsday device.
Yeah.
I think Gray hit the lariat with this Doomsday device, and I remember being like, oh yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, you know, Reefer just showed up to take the pin, basically.
He was there to have a good time.
Keep the tag champs looking strong.
Yeah. I gave this match a meh.
Same.
It's fine.
Yeah, it was good.
Now, let's go to the part of the card where, in my
opinion... These next two matches...
In my opinion, these two next two matches were the highlight of the card.
Agreed. Let's take a look at Blake Christian taking on Biff Busick, and oh my god, what a slugfest this was.
Yeah, holy moly. They start off real quick and spilled into the crowd eventually, and of course, because Mike and I got general admissions, we ran the fuck over to where they were, and these two were beating the shit out of each other around the outside.
Yeah, dude, these two were murdering each other. It was wild. Blake Christian was not pulling any punches, and neither was Busick. Busick was... There was one spot that I remember where Christian was going for, like, a springboard on the top rope, something,
mm-hmm.
and he came down and just... Busick just annihilated him with a European uppercut.
Yeah. Yeah. Busick was, I mean, All Hart took his, he took everything he had. That's
yeah.
Sure. There were a lot of...
They were fighting on the outside. There was one point where it looks like Busick was trying to powerbomb Christian through, like, onto a couple of chairs that were together mm-hmm. in the crowd, and instead, Christian was able to backdrop Busick through them.
That was a good spot. I liked when he hung Christian up on the top rope, and then he uppercutted him to the outside.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I loved Blake's comeback here. Even though he died right after this to like a running knee and an uppercut from Busick, I just loved how he had this really like this comeback of strikes and a half and half suplex and got the crowd really amped, and then Busick was like, oh boy, you've messed up.
Yeah. Ooh, you messed up, friend.
And then I think my favorite spot was when Busick hit, I remember this specifically. He hit Christian with a chop, and I'm like, fuck. He hit him with a harder chop, and I was like, oh, I'm like, no. And then he hit with a third, and I was like, fuck me, dude, why? How did you get more increasingly worse for him?
Yeah.
Oh, then he just European uppercutted him just over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
at this point, I was like, I don't know how. I was 100% on the train of Busick winning this match.
Yeah. And then you think that he's gonna win this, he gets a door out, and Blake is like, fuck it. And he just suicides himself into the door in Busick.
Yeah, that was wild. That looked really insane. Good
spot. Really fucking good looking spot.
Yeah.
And then
Busick. I love the idea of Chris. Yeah, like you said, I love the idea of Christian just being like, fuck it. Like, I gotta do this. And he just wham.
Yep. After this, there was a couple of really good spots, such as Blake frog splashing Busick as he's like hanging on the ropes, and they both just tumble to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, after basically withstanding the storm that is Biff Busick's punishment, Blake wins with a double stomp to Biff's back after he kicked out of everything that I described before, like all the chops, holds, slams, like just everything. He wins, and I was really fucking happy.
Yeah, he, what did he win with again? What was the finishing spot?
It looked like a double stomp to the back, but I
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like it has to be something else. And I feel bad that I just do not remember what it is.
Listen, there was so much shit that happened.
It's true, but I was like, in my head, I'm like, when I saw this, I'm like, I should have known what that is. But I can't tell because I couldn't get a good spot. Blake wins, though. The two have a really nice, like, you know, respect for each other because they had a really fucking good match that they had would not have been able to have where they previously had worked. That's for fucking sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then Blake just put it all out there. He called out, like, four really, really top guys. Kushida, Moxley. Yeah. Who else? What are the other two?
It was Kushida, it was Moxley, it was Alex Shelley, and it was Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, and I remember with everyone, I increasingly went like, that fucks. Yeah. I'm like, any four of these individuals, you have them on a match with you, and it will probably be a great match.
Jeez, can you imagine if Blake Christian wins the GCW world title for Moxley? Imagine the pop.
Wild. I'd also like to see what he would do as champion and see if, like, he could prove his charisma, because I know a lot of people's complaints to them right now is that his charisma is not as good as his in-ring work.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love him, I kind of have to agree, so I'm hoping if they do belt him, he thrives in that role. You know what I mean?
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, in case you can't tell, it's a mark out from me. I fucking love this match.
Yeah, this match was absolutely a mark out. It was unbelievable. These two fucking murdered each other.
This was some, like, New Japan shit with the fucking strikes they were giving each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let us get to what you and I originally went to this show for.
Yeah, this I think, this was close between, for me, it was between this match and the last match for Match of the Night, I think.
Mm-hmm. This match.
For me, at least, in my personal opinion.
I would agree with you.
So, let's get into it. This was Speedball Mike Bailey versus Joey Janela. man, dude. Joey Janela can go.
yeah. Spoiler alert. Joey Janela, Mike Bailey. Really good wrestlers.
People like to talk a lot of shit about Joey, but dude, he can. He's a good wrestler. He's good at what he does.
Yeah. There were a lot of good spots. I can't go through all of them, obviously, so I'll go through the. Mike and I will go through the ones that we liked the most. I loved when Bailey started this match off hot and hit, like, the big, like, soup, like, barrage of kicks to Joey while he's on the apron until he's just on the ground, like, stop, man, I'm down, come on.
Please.
Mm-hmm. There were a lot of, there was eventually when the two of them got back into the ring, I liked the roll-off off they had, where, Bailey ended it by throwing Joey into the bottom rope out to the outside and then doing his patented second rope moonsault onto him from the outside, from the inside of the ring.
Yeah.
That was fucking great. Then there's, of course, the merch table spot.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
That put a hole in a table.
Yeah, it didn't even break the table. It just, they broke through the middle of it. They went to the outside, they were fighting on top of this table, and then, it looked like Janela was trying to, like, powerbomb him or something, but Bailey then, like, trips him, and Joey's laying on this table, and then Bailey does his moonsault meteora right into Joey's chest, and they just go right through it.
Yeah, Jordan Oliver had a good picture on his Twitter of the Carnage aftermath bit, and I was like, oh my god, it's literally just a circular hole in the table. I thought they,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it's a circular hole in the table, it's really
I
funny.
Thought, like, the table, like, the leg came out or something like that, but, like, no, they just put a hole in the fucking table.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
It was, but it was also a really good spot.
Mm-hmm.
Janela hit, is this the spot I think it is, where he air raid crashed Bailey onto the apron? I remember thinking, your head was way too fucking close to getting clipped on that apron.
Oh yeah, yeah. There was some dangerous, risky spots, but I would expect literally nothing less from these two.
Mm-hmm.
I said it going in. I was like, listen, I know on paper that Janela Mike Bailey doesn't like seem like one of the coolest matches Bailey can have, but I know for a fact that Joey Janela is gonna be like, hey, you want to do some dumb shit, and Bailey would be like, hell fucking yes, I do, because that's just Mike Bailey.
Mm-hmm. I loved. I wrote absolutely buck wild spot here because I was channeling my inner you, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
Where these two like went back and forth hitting each other with strikes, like really good, like solid kicks from Bailey, just, like forearms from Joey, and then they both hulked up, and Bailey dodged Janela. He just dogged Janela with kicks. Like he just dogged him. I remember thinking like, yeah. Wow, you should have just stayed down.
Yeah,
why
there
even bother?
The strikes in this match were insane. Bailey kicked out of basically everything.
There were so many goddamn near falls.
Yeah.
There was
it was
the avalanche
wild. Joey threw everything he had at Bailey, and Bailey just would not stay down.
There was a very... I felt somewhat out of place spot here. Where
okay,
Bailey was going
me.
For the ultimate weapon, and Janela, like, stood up, and he just dadded him off the top rope. Like, he ordered him. He's like, get down here and fight me right now. And I remember thinking to myself, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was kind of weird, but also, Bailey's never one to turn down a fight, so of course he was like, yes, please.
Yeah, and then Joey got his ass beat, and there's another time where I was like, you should have just took the fucking thing, man.
You should have just stayed down, buddy. You got annihilated there.
Then the ending of this match, which is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So these two, after going back and forth for God knows how long, Janela slapped Speedball's mouth guard out of his mouth, and this is at this moment that I thought, oh god, he's gonna lose, isn't he?
Yeah, dude, when he got that mouthpiece slapped out of his mouth, I was like, oh man, that was a big, like you said, I also was in the camp of, he's gonna lose, isn't he? Oh my god.
That took I usually say the word, slap the taste out of someone's mouth, but that takes the cake for it, that's for fucking sure.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And then somehow, Mike Bailey comes back, knocks Janela down onto his back, and as he's getting up, hits him with the ultimate weapon, and then the flamingo driver, his other finisher, and pins him.
Yeah, this match was absolutely bananas. The flamingo driver is almost like a one-winged angel, kind
of. It's kind of, but like you have to like have your arm behind your back holding your opponent's foot because they have one foot down on your shoulder or something like that.
That's why it's called the flamingo driver.
Oh shit, yeah. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah, because the opponent's standing on one foot.
But yeah, no, this match fucks. It's a mark out. If you get this pay-per-view, literally just watch the two matches we just talked about, and you'll get your money's worth, and everything else is also great, but those two matches, god.
Yeah, those two matches definitely made the price of admission worth it. Like, the other matches were good, but these two were, like, standout great for me.
Yeah, and the crowd was already hot for, like, this whole pay-per-view, and mm-hmm. this match, everyone was losing their fucking minds.
Yeah, match was awesome.
Alright. Then we had some... Charles Nason called out Nate Webb. Nick Gage. And then Webb tried to attack him, and he just got choked the fuck out by a belt in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Mason went from a smug, rich guy to a borderline sociopath now.
I think we could have went without this spot. I'm gonna be real.
Probably, but you know they want to set up other matches later, and so you know that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Mean, they
I
clearly
just,
see
I just
something.
I didn't care about it, man. I was just like, yeah, whatever, do your thing, I guess.
They clearly see something in Mason because they gave him a mic to actually talk, which is mm-hmm. more than a lot of times I see on GCW.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So, I mean, hey, I'm willing to see if because I've never actually seen him wrestle. I don't think. I think saw him in a squash match.
Oh, really?
With Mason. With Mance Warner, I think.
Oh, back when he was It was a while. Yeah, that was a while ago.
It was a while ago, which is why I was surprised now. So I am curious to see how he is in the ring, because if he's got as much charisma in the ring as he does when he's got the mic, I would be interested to see him do more.
Me too.
But anyway, back to the wrestling.
Yes.
Let's get into the deathmatch portion of the card now.
Yeah, why don't we? We have the, of course, the TOS 7 qualifying matches. First one up was, of course, Hoodfoot versus Akira. What do we think about this one?
This is a good match. It's a good starting match, that's for sure.
I agree.
There were some wince-inducing fucking spots in this match, though.
Oh, that's death matches, baby.
Yeah, no, but this one had two of the things that make me cringe. It had gusset plates, which are normally bad, and then the two of them jam gusset plates in each other's head, and they just like to do gusset plates off with each other's chests. I'm like, no,
please.
Nope. That's a big.
Stop.
I mean, I'll watch it. I'll appreciate it, but at the same time, fucking god.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that was tough.
They had like a gusset plate door that Akira like just threw into Hoodfoot. And then he just kicked it into him.
Yeah, like, why did you do that?
And then there's the spot that gave me the most that I was like, why, God? I was like jumping around going like,
no, fucking weed whacker. Yeah, dude, this that weed, they brought out a weed whacker.
You could not pay
like,
me enough.
Why did you do that? That's so crazy. The weed whacker spots, man. Those are tough to watch.
They were. The most concerning one for me, surprisingly, was when the two of them were fighting over the weed whacker, because my first thought was, oh my god, if you accidentally turn that weed whacker on right
somebody's
now, like you're
getting
about to
an eye gone or something, right? Like someone's getting hit in the face.
Because Hoodfoot had it in his hand, and Akira basically like slipped underneath him, and he had it, as he was getting beat up, he had it in his hand. I'm like, oh, please don't accidentally use this thing. And then inevitably, they both get it. Akira gets it to the back first, and then he baits Hoodfoot to use it on him again on his chest so that he could snatch it from him and then trip him so that he could then put it into his back and his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. Later on in this match, because, like, this match went on for a bit longer than I actually thought it was going to. Because, like, Hoodfoot just did not want to die. Like, Akira did a lot. He had the light tube powerbomb on Hoodfoot off the top rope. The standing sliced bread into dragon sleeper hold that Hoodfoot almost tapped or was almost knocked out from, but then he hit him with a backdrop driver while the whole floor was covered in glass.
Mm-hmm.
Then the ending of this match came a bit suddenly. IMO.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so Hoodfoot gets a chain and he rats around his fist and Akira starts striking him and he's like hitting him so fast. And I'm like, okay, dope. And then he punches him in the face with the chained fist. And I'm like, okay, there's going to be something else, right? And then suddenly I hear as I'm looking down at my phone that Hoodfoot is one. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, he hit him with a big lariat and took him out with the chain on his arm and got the pin.
That was it, okay. Because I was like, I saw the punch and I was like, oh, surely the match will have a bit more. I can look down at my phone for a second to write that down. Match is over.
Yep.
So Hoodfoot wins. I won't lie. I like Hoodfoot a lot, but I kind of wanted Akira to win this.
I agree. I'm with you here. I was definitely on Akira's side. I was definitely behind Akira, and I wanted him to win. But you know, this was still a solid matchup, and I can't wait to see I still can't wait to see what Hoodfoot is gonna do in TOS.
Yeah, I think it's also because every time I see Akira in a match, he always loses.
Yeah,
and I'm like, give the guy a break. Come on.
Yeah. Same here. It kind of feels that way, huh?
Mm-hmm. And he had some good strikes. Like, he was kicking the shit out of Hoodfoot, too, in this match.
Mm-hmm. He was.
What would you give this
match? Akira was dominating a lot of this match. I'm going to give it a high meh. It was solid. I really liked a lot of the spots, and I was impressed by both of these guys.
I was also thinking high meh.
Nice.
That fucking weed whacker spot, man, was unnecessary, but I was happy no one got hurt, so you know.
Yeah, me too.
It's a death match. There's not really much complaints, more so just...
It's a death match, so people got hurt, but not, like, badly enough.
The weed whacker, I feel like, whenever I think of it, I'm like, I can't ever... You can't pay me enough to take that. You cannot pay me enough to take a weed
whacker. No way.
Anywho, nothing to complain about a weed whacker. Let's get to the next match.
Next up, we got Slade versus Sawyer Wreck in another TOS 7 qualifying match. This match was kind of a squash, yeah. Which sucks, because I really like Sawyer Rick, and I really wanted to see Sawyer Rick have, like, a good match here.
Mm-hmm.
But Slade just kind of, you know, beat her down and ended up winning this match pretty fast. Handily, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I'll say fair enough at the beginning that Sawyer did get a couple good shots in.
Yeah.
She brained Slade with the light tubes. Oh my god, the two of them put gusset plates in their heads and they headbutted each other in the face into each other's gusset plates, and I was like...
That was fucking cool.
That was a good spot. Slade punching the chair out of her hands was metal as fuck.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, you made a bad mistake here. Then Slade won by choking her out in the shattered pieces of light tubes that he had just been chokeslammed through, and he was stabbing her with glass in her head, and she was screaming out in pain, and I was like, I feel so bad for you.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I also wanted Sawyer Rick to win, especially after her Planet Death match, because I thought that was actually one of the best matches on that card.
Yeah, Sawyer Rick had an awesome Planet Death match, and I really wanted to... That's one of the reasons I really, really wanted to see her go.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I feel like some things... granted, it wouldn't surprise me if some of these matches went a bit over, because some of these were long.
Yeah.
There were some long-ass matches, but I... What I want to give, like, this... I want to, on one hand, the Wreck and Slade match had a lot of good spots that stuck out to me, but it was really fucking short, which is really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. I think they were running out of time, and they needed to get to the title match still, but I really, really wanted to see them do more.
Mm-hmm. I want to give this a high meh, but it's... I don't know, I'm torn on that and the meh.
Mm-hmm.
What would you give it? Maybe that'll sway me.
I'm gonna give it a meh.
I think I'm gonna go with you.
It was fine. I just really, really, really wanted to see more of these two. Like that's
it's like a shot. Yeah. What is that? We got like a taste, like a one of those little, like, you know, when you're in a supermarket and they give you like those like sample plate things.
Yeah. That's basically what this was.
We got that, and we're like, well, where's the rest of it? And they're like, that's all of it.
Like what? What do you mean? That's all of it. Yeah.
That was great. I wanted more.
Yeah, I would love to see these two absolutely murder each other in a death match for the ages, but this is what we got, and it was still fine, but it left me longing.
Yes. So, to quote Mark Henry, it's time for the main event.
Yeah. We got John Wayne Murdoch taking on Cole Radrick for the GCW Ultra Violent Championship. This match was insane.
This is a hometown hero versus vilified heel match, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, everyone was on Ratty Daddy's side. Everyone wanted Cole Radrick to win. The whole place was behind Cole Radrick. I was like, I like John Wayne Murdoch. And then the crowd ended up turning me, and I was just like, all right, go Cole!
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I like completely did a 180. I was like, I kind of want John Wayne Murdoch to win, because I like John Wayne Murdoch, and I think he's really good.
Yeah, they had banners. They were passing out the Radrick wins or we riot signs.
Yeah, Radrick or riot. That was cool.
Yeah, there were a bunch of really good spots in this match. I will say this: John Wayne Murdoch, Lauren from Your Dose of Death, that the other podcast on our network, told me that he is amazing, and he is. I concur after watching several of his matches. He's fucking great. Like,
yeah.
God damn. Like, this man...
He's a beast.
He was a heel, and he knew he was going to be a heel, and he played the fuck up to this crowd, but he can go.
He sure can.
There was a There's a spot here where I thought it was really funny. Like, Radrick's on the floor, and he takes a little single light tube, and he hits Murdoch in the knee with it. Which, first of all, is just rare to not hit someone across, like, the body roll with it.
Yeah.
And I laughed. Because then Murray was like, you bitch, and he grabbed like a bundle of the tubes and just hit them across his back, and I was just like, oh man.
It never was really good.
Yeah, never take a light tube to a bundle of light tubes fight.
Yeah. Especially against Murdoch.
Oh my god, yeah. Then there was the fucking barbed wire board they had.
Oof, yeah, that was violent.
I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, they were, it's just a barbed wire board, and they were throwing each other into it. I was like, they were literally throwing the board into each other, and I was just like, oh.
Yeah, there was one part where it, like, got stuck to Radrick, and it was like, oh. Yeah.
It was like, I loved how in this match, because we're going through this whole match would take so long, but like there was a point in this match where Murdoch low blowed Radrick, and I remember Mikey said it best. He was like, "Boo! This is an anything goes match, but low blows are still a heel move in this match. Boo!
This is a death match, and they're hitting each other with light dudes, but a low blow is still bullshit."
Yeah, everyone in the crowd was booing the shit out of him, and I was in my head, I was like, you know, there's not a lot of low blows in deathmatch wrestling, is there?
No, because it's like, it feels, out of everything else they're doing to each other, it feels kind of negligible, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you're bashing light tubes over each other's head, you're throwing barbed wire boards into each other, you're absolutely killing each other, and it's like, a low blow? That's your really? Big move after all that? But, like, hey, it still gets the heel pop, you know?
It does. It feels like, how dare you resort to such a bullshit tactic in this match, in this death match? You fuck. It's the easy way out.
It's like, don't be a coward, right? Mm-hmm. Like, fuck each other up with light tubes, like, real men.
Yeah. Throughout this match, there were a lot of really good, like, light tube-based spots that I really liked. Like, a lot of really creative spots where they would, like, put the light tubes, like, in between each other's, like, bodies and, like, kick the other one out to break into it. There was a spot where Murdoch had Radrick sitting in a chair and he kept striking the shit out of his chest.
That was cool.
He went to hit him again and Radrick dropped toe-holded him face first into the chair, but he... Mm-hmm. Murdoch had given him light tubes that he was going to hit into him, and he had basically dropped the light tubes onto the chair, so he went face first into them. That was really good. I liked when Radrick rode the ladder off of the corner onto Murdoch when he had the light tubes on his chest.
Oh, yeah, that was dope.
It's a good spot. Oh, my God. So in this match, there was a comically large ladder that was basically tied to a corner that reached all up to, like, the chandeliers in the ceiling. And Radrick went to the top of this, and, oh, my God, he hit Murdoch with a senton off this door that Mikey and I were like, this is gonna break before he even hits this senton, isn't he? Like, it was wobbling.
It was wobbling, yeah, it was tough.
And he kicked out of it, because I remember everyone in the crowd was like, what the fuck? And then Radrick got him in a, he got him in a submission that I can't remember. I think it was like the lapel lock, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking to myself, as Murdoch is dragging himself through glass, that is a tough motherfucker, because he got a rope break, and I was just like, that must have been rough.
Mm-hmm.
There was so much glass in the ring. And then, finally, after a long, hard fight, Murdoch actually won this match by hitting Radrick with a spinning superplex through the door they were in the corner that they were standing on top of, which looked really cool, actually.
It sure did.
The crowd, however, was not pleased with this.
No.
For a brief moment, people started to throw stuff.
Yeah.
And then we had the oddly wholesome moment where Murdoch, the heel, was like, yeah, don't, if you're a fan of him, just give me a second. Fought really hard. And I'll let these people decide if you get to be in TOS. And the crowd unanimously agreed.
Because, yeah, he had his spot to give... The thing was, he had his spot to give away.
Yes, because he dislikes Alex Colon, and he thinks the tournament survival is bullshit, and he doesn't need it.
And they also challenged Alex Colon to Cage of Survival.
Yes.
Title for title.
And Mikey and I were like, well, now I can't hate him as much, because that was a really nice promo.
Yeah, like, he was trying to be a heel. He was being a heel this whole match, and then he was just like, oh, that was really wholesome. Wait.
He's like, I'm going to do my own shit. He's like, I'm going to make sure matches like this happen. There's more deathmatch wrestling. And I was like...
Everyone stopped throwing shit pretty fast.
Yeah, it was like when the asshole
They were like, oh, he's cool. God damn it.
Oh, he's an asshole in the ring, but he has a... Okay, you know what? That's my champion.
Yeah.
So we ended out on a high note, despite the crowd being very upset that Radrick did not win this match.
Yeah. This one was cool, though. I really enjoyed this match. A lot of crazy, awesome spots. Radrick looked like a monster. Got his spot in TOS. And I can't wait to see Radrick kill some people there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see John Wayne Murdoch and Alex Colon inside the Cage of Survival.
That'll be good. So, Mikey, now, the question that we were all waiting for, or the answer, what are we giving this match?
This match definitely gets. I think this one also gets a mark out for me. This one was awesome. It really showed off how good Radjic is. It really showed off how good Murdoch was. I think both guys came out of it looking better, and it was just great.
I was actually torn because I was like, I'm like, maybe I'll give it a high meh. And then after that, I after realizing that the crowd had turned me as well as you, I was like, okay, you can take the mark out.
Yeah, how into this match I got was
I was very much the deciding factor.
Yeah,
I'm not even a massive Radjic fan, but when he kicked out of one of Murdoch's moves, I was like, oh, thank God. And when Murdoch won, I was like, God fucking damn it, son of a bitch.
Yeah, it was cool. this whole match ruled.
Oh yeah, this match is great. So yeah, overall, this is a really good pay-per-view.
I agree. This match fucked. All the whole pay-per-view fucked.
Yeah.
It was a really good time leading up to TOS weekend. And I think all in all, the pay-per-view gets a mark out for me.
I think I will be inclined to agree here because it has three markouts. So
yeah,
a bunch of high mess.
Yeah, this one ruled. I was super into it. Definitely giving it a mark out.
GC fucking sick. W, man.
GC fucking W, man. You are right. Absolutely killing it as usual. And showing off that they are not just some rinky-dink company anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was TOS. That was not TOS. Not yet. That was In Too Deep. That was what we thought of the show. If you were there, we'd love to hear your thoughts on the show. Let us know. Tweeted us at Indie Waters on Twitter, where you can follow us. You can also follow the Countout Network on Twitter at Countout Pod. Over at the Countout Network, there is so much more shows for you to check out. Shows like How to Talk to Your Friends About Wrestling, Your Dose of Death, Ring Post Radio, Pure, Okada Shorts. We have all flavors of wrestling here on the Countout Network. So if you like New Japan, if you like WWE, if you like any of those, definitely check out. If you like Ring of Honor, go check out all the other shows here on the Countout Network. I'm sure you'll get to hear more about TOS weekend coming up over on Your Dose of Death as well. So go check out those shows if you are into any other wrestling at all. And you could follow Countout on Twitter at CountoutPod. And you can go check out our website, CountoutPod.com, where we have all the information you need on all the podcasts and all of the hosts of the shows. You could also sign up for a membership over on CountoutPod.com, where if you like our content and you want to support us, you can support us for $5 a month and help the podcast network grow. You can also get merch over at countoutpod.com/store. If you weren't one of the lucky people to get a free t-shirt, you could buy one for yourself over at the store, an Indie Waters t-shirt for yourself over on countoutpod.com/store, and all kinds of other fun Countout Network merch as well. And you can go follow, you can go subscribe to us on YouTube, Count Out a Wrestling Podcast Network, and like us on Facebook, Count Out a Wrestling Podcast Network as well. I believe that does it for the plugs. Zach, you got anything?
For myself personally, never. You know me. Anyone who watches the show knows I never have a personal plug. The only thing I will plug, something that Ryan very much wants to see grow much more, our Discord.
Yeah, go check out our Discord. We now have a Discord that you can join. The link is on the Countout Twitter. You can find it over there. Definitely go check that out. We would love for you to join the Discord. We'd love for you to be a part of the community. We all just talk about wrestling whenever it comes on. We're all just hanging out in there, and it's a nice little public place for everyone to chat and have fun conversations about what's going on in the world of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's about everything. Most else I can say is, to those of you that are first joining us here, thank you for the listen. We really appreciate it. And if you still want to hear more of this, we've got plenty more coming in the following weeks. This isn't our usual format.
No,
go into much more in-depth with the matches, but 9 matches in one episode is quite a bit.
Yeah, it is. But like Zach said, this isn't our normal format. Next week we'll be back with three more matches to talk about and give ratings to, and we'll get a way more in-depth into them and give a much more detailed review.
Which we normally would give you a preview of this week, but maybe we leave it as a surprise.
I think we leave it as a surprise, so come back next week and check out what matches we check out then, and we'd love to have you. Thank you. If you're a new subscriber, or if you're you've been a subscriber, again, thank you so much for being here. We really, really, really appreciate you. And yeah, I think that about does it. We said everything we needed to say, except for this one last thing, which is to remember that there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Lauren.
This is Michael.
And this is Your Dose of Death Podcast. If you're genuinely curious about the world of deathmatch wrestling, look no further, as me and Mike have you covered on all things in the world of deathmatch wrestling, whether it's
interviews,
show reviews, or everything in between. We have you covered on all things deathmatch wrestling, whether it's past, present, or future. And you're probably wondering where you can go support us. You can find Your Dose of Death Podcast on all major podcast platforms, especially along with the Count Out Network of Podcasts. And also, you can support us on the Count Out Patreon, as we have exclusive content only on the Patreon for all of our listeners. We hope that you go listen to Your Dose of Death Podcast very soon.
And see you at the shows.